Blog Talk Radio.
Call 911. She just can't make it quite yet. Tonight we have a very special guest for you. Her name is Pamela Collins. Pamela is a graduate of Marshall University with a master's degree in clinical psychology. After several years in private practice, she chose to stay home and be a full-time mom. This gave her the unusual opportunity to begin weaving the professional things learned in school with the esoteric things that she'd been learning about throughout her life. Listening skills begin to take on a new meaning when one is listening for the other side. She reads tarot, does dream instruction, Reiki, along with other practice skills, and we get to talk to her for a full 2 hours tonight. She's even going to do some readings. Before we get into the show, I would like to welcome you to the World of Ink Network and let you know that we do have many shows here at the World of Ink Network. We've got the Book Discussion with Fran Lewis, the Writing Mama Show with Virginia Grenier, The Edge with Cassandra Dane, Family Matters with Virginia Grenier and Irene Roth, What a Success with Tracy McDonald, Nick and Natalie's Book Club with Marcia Casper Cook, The Right Step with R.J. Jeffries, A Good Story is a Good Story with Marcia Casper Cook, Any Which Way But Loose with Bennett Pomerantz, and our new show called Meet the Author with Marcia Casper Cook and myself hosting, where we will have different authors come on from several different genres and talk to us about their books. And we're excited about this new show that will be starting in October. So if you're not into the paranormal, well, first of all, you're listening to the wrong show, and secondly, we do have something for you here at the World of Ink Network. Pam, so glad to have you on the show tonight.
I'm thankful to be asked.
Oh, it's great to have you here. I'm sorry, I understand you've been a little under the weather.
I have. I got the creeping crud, but I'm bouncing back.
That's what I've been telling people, is that I am getting over the crud. I don't know what it was, but I hacked and coughed and ran a fever for days and days, and I had finally decided I was going to give it till last Monday, and if I was still running the fever, I was going to go to the doctor. And luckily, Sunday night it broke. So
went away.
Yeah, I dodged that bullet. I hate going to the doctor.
Me too.
I hate having to spend money for people to tell me that I'm sick. I already know I'm sick.
My favorite part is after they look at you and they say, well, it's just a virus. You'll just
right.
have to let it report.
Right. Drop that $120, go home and go to bed.
Yep.
Well, so tonight we're going to do some readings. You're going to do some card readings and explain exactly how that works, correct?
Yes.
But before we get to that, tell us a little bit about what you do. How did you get into this? I mean, to go from being a psychologist to the supernatural, that's kind of a jump usually.
I guess it would depend on your perspective. For me, it's all about healing and growing and getting past the things that we do to ourselves that keep us from succeeding. So So, to me, it's a natural flow. I know there are others who would disagree with that, but I don't know. For me, it's just about being your better spiritual self.
Ooh, sounds like we've got a little static on the line. I met a few people that, well, and Tracy, my co-host, has a big background in psychology as well. And I think, you know, when you come at it from a scientific standpoint, it's even more believable for the layman, for just, you know, average Joe, when somebody's with your educational background can come in and say, okay, look, this is real. This is what I've experienced. I think it carries a little more weight, don't you? Or do you have an opinion on that?
I come from a family of teachers, engineers, and doctors. I haven't been right since I was born. So in terms of arguing the scientific angle, you know, I think it helps with skeptics, but there's even what I taught at Marshall when I was in grad school. We had the opportunity to teach introductory psychology classes. And, you know, you even have people come into psychology classes who don't believe it has any weight. And one of my favorite things was to watch a student who the first day of class would say to me, I'm only here to get my credit. I don't believe in any of this crap. And have them at some point in the semester, you'd see something click. And that was just such a thrill. Well, now it's kind of that way when I'm talking to somebody and I can say something, either because of a tarot reading or, you know, just talking to them, and something clicks that they understand why they're doing something. That,
yeah.
It's just such a natural progression for me. I guess there might be people who would take it more seriously because I've got a master's degree, but that's a shame because all they're doing is cutting themselves off from what they could be doing.
I agree. I think that it is the paranormal in society today, and I see this on just about every show. But the paranormal is becoming more widely accepted as not so para and more normal, because more and more people seem to be, either more and more people are experiencing things that they cannot explain, or they're getting more vocal about what they're experiencing than they ever have before. Because, you know, it was not that long ago that if you started talking about seeing ghosts, there was something really wrong with you. And I do run into that on occasion, but generally, if I start talking about what I've experienced, I can be in a group of, say, 10 people. And out of those 10, at least half of them have their own story to tell. And I find that pretty amazing because, you know, there used to be a time when I would not tell anyone anything other than my closest friends because I didn't want to be labeled a lunatic. And I think that people are more accepting now, you know. I really do. So let's talk about tarot.
Okay.
How did you get into tarot reading?
Well, I had a roommate, and I had finished up. I was in private practice, and I had a roommate. She is an RN and worked on the ICU unit and was very into the metaphysical. And I watched her use it with patients, not particularly tarot, but other healing energy work that she could do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it worked because one of her patients was my grandmother. And I watched her help her get some peace with some things one night when she was struggling with some pain that the medicines weren't catching. And you just kind of, I mean, I got really lucky. Well, lucky or blessed. I guess it just, you know, depends on your perspective. But I got really blessed and had a great relationship with that roommate and with a couple other ladies at the same time, and they were all tarot readers. And I was just so fascinated to watch what they could do. And I started learning. And they would just sit me down. And, you know, the automatic thing, and I'm sure you get this too, is that people, when they find out you have a skill, they come up to you and say, hey, can you read this for me? Or can you do, you know,
right,
can I get your services? And
right,
God bless them. They would look at me and say, you can learn to do it for yourself. Sit down and I'll help you. And that, it was just a wonderful thing. I had a den of teachers. And they were just so effective and so patient. And I learned that a lot of what I could, not all psychologists are the same. We were talking about the schools of psychology before, and did that help, the scientific angle.
Mm-hmm.
And there are different schools within psychology, even where people have their own little niche. And my particular niche, even just in clinical psych, was always the symbolism and interpreting the symbols and all that kind of stuff. What they call projective testing, which, that's one of those things that people love to make fun of until you have them do one of them and you start reading back what you see to them, and they're going, where? Where? How can you see that? Well, with tarot, it kind of became the same way. And I just really got fortunate and had a lot of things come together at one time to get me started, and that's when I was in my late 20s. So I won't tell too much, but I'll tell that was more than 20 years ago.
Well, and I won't ask too much then when it comes to that. So do you think, can anybody learn to do this? Can anybody, is it a learned skill, or is it a gift that you have or you don't?
Honestly, tarot is a learned skill. But how well you can do it, it's like cooking. Anybody can read a recipe and follow it, assuming you can read.
Mm-hmm.
But not every cook's going to turn out the same pot of chicken noodle soup. I think tarot is very much like that. You've got some really gifted people, and the cards don't do much more for them than open a gateway to the other side where they can really listen and talk and see. But even then, as long as your intent is good, if you're just starting out, I think anybody can get a deck and learn what to do with it. You just have to be respectful of it. excuse me, there are certain things that you can't expect it to tell you. One of the things they always tell us is you don't ever ask about death because they're not going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
I have an example of that not being true, but we'll tell that story in a minute.
I think that's dangerous, though, don't you think?
Yeah, and why would you want to know?
When it comes to, it's all, and I don't want to be offensive anyway or make you think I'm making light of any of it, because I don't. But it's one thing to wonder about, you know, what's the future going to hold for me? What about this job or my love interest or whatever? But I do believe in self-fulfilling prophecy, and
mm-hmm.
I think that too much information can be dangerous, especially if it is that sort of information. Now, that's just my opinion, and that's not based in any kind of scientific fact or study. It's just what I think. What's your opinion on that?
No, I agree with you. I think there are things you just don't need to know. It doesn't help. There's no way it would help you function to know what day you're going to die or if it's coming in the next year or the next 10 years or whatever. That will not help you. And to me, that's the whole purpose of tarot, is helping you function better. How can I be healthier? How can I do better on my path? How can I, you know, just how can I do this? For me, it's in a more godly way. Because
yeah.
We're all God's children. That's how I see it. There are people who go, oh, no, you're a tarot reader, you're a witch. You know, that's a definition thing for them. For
mm-hmm.
me, it's very much not that. I think God talks to us in lots of ways, and we've either been taught to not listen or we've never even been taught what we could be listening to.
I like that. I like that. That's a great explanation of it. And you're right. I've heard that. There are many folks out there, bless their hearts, that think that if there's something going on that they can't do, that it must be evil. And I disagree with that totally because, you know, I can't paint a picture. That doesn't mean that artists are evil. It just means I really don't have that kind of creativity. But there are a lot of people that do believe if it's, you know, if it's something that's not everybody can do, that there's something wrong with them, and usually that it's diabolical. So,
yeah. And that's just fear. You know, fear is, I don't know, to me, fear, hate is not the opposite of love, fear is. Because love is totally accepting at the extreme, and fear is totally rejecting at the extreme. So, you know, that's my little speech. But on the day my dad died, I actually had 3 tarot readings, 2 by one of my friends, and then I went down to a little metaphysical shop that used to be in the town I lived in, and the lady who ran the place was in there, and she said, come over here, I haven't seen you in forever, come on, I'll do a reading for you. And all 3 of them had the death card as the outcome.
Oh.
And, yeah, and I'm just a person, even now, even since that day, the death card has a different meaning for me. It doesn't mean death. It means you're taking a huge step forward and your old life dies and a new life starts. And my dad died that day, unexpectedly at 52.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And I often think about that when people ask about the death card, but I would never have asked about that. And both of the ladies, their names were Jeannie and Carolyn, said to me, now, you know that's not what that card really is, right? And, oh, yeah, I know what that's not what that card is. Yeah, that actually was what that card was. And the other side was trying to let me know what was coming because it was such a shock that I think they were trying to give me a little heads up. But I think I was better off not following that line of thinking. Because I went to a baby shower that afternoon. It was a beautiful day. I drove home 45 minutes from where I was at, windows down, you know, radio blare and all that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had been spending the rest of the day, even at my friend's baby shower, worrying about who was going to die, that had been miserable. And I would have made others around me miserable.
Right. Right. And so, especially if nothing would have happened anyhow.
Right.
And that's the big thing, my concern with self-fulfilling prophecy is that sometimes I get these feelings. My grandma used to call it that low-down, dirty, bad feeling. And sometimes I get these feelings like something's wrong. The only thing I can equate it to is when you're a child, specifically a teenager, and you've done something that you know you're about to be busted for, and you don't know why you know, but you know you're busted. It feels
uh-huh.
like that. And every once in a while, I'll get that feeling. I'll wake up with it in the morning, and it will throw me off all day. Because all day I'm worried about, one of the first things I do is I'll call every one of my kids. Are you okay? Where are you at? What's going on? And they're like, Mom, you're crazy. Everything's fine. But it does. It'll drive me crazy. And then I finally, when I get a hold of it, I'm like, okay, it's fine. There's a lot of times I have that feeling that absolutely nothing happens. I was just anxious over whatever, and there was no end result to that. So I know I asked you if you considered yourself psychic or a medium, and your answer was no. Do you think everybody has a bit of psychic ability?
Yeah.
I agree with you there. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I said I just think it's learning to listen. You know, everybody's got what they would call instincts, things like that. There's a great quote in a book called The Sum of All Fears, and it's about the military, but I think it applies to everything. And this older officer is telling this younger recruit, you've got to learn to separate your instincts from your fears, because your instincts will save you and your fears will kill you. And I think that really applies in lots and lots of ways, not just going into the jungle like they were.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that, too. I do. Well, let's explain. You want to go ahead and do the reading and explain how this all works?
Sure. First, I use the Connolly deck. There's all kinds of different... I don't know how much people know, so if I'm talking down to folks, I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to make sure all the bases get covered.
Well, pretend that we don't know anything, because we may have guests that don't know anything about tarot reading at all. So we'll just come from the standpoint that we have not experienced it at all. That way, everybody gets to enjoy it.
Okay. Well, there's more than one tarot deck. There are hundreds. And each has its own unique characteristics. There's different artwork. All the cards pretty much have the same names. It's cast into two different groups. There's the Major Arcana and the Minor Arcana.
Okay.
And the Minor Arcana are like a playing deck, are 52 cards, ace through king. It's the same thing, and there's four suits in a tarot deck. For my particular deck, there's wands, cups, pentacles, and swords, which equate to hearts, diamonds, clubs, and spades. And sometimes you'll see people using a regular deck of playing cards to do divination.
Uh-huh.
And that's what they're basing it off of that. It's the same thing. It's a combination of the numbers and the numerology that goes along with it. And because you can't do tarot without numerology. And
I have a great aunt that used to read a regular deck of cards. And now she's passed, so I can't ask her any questions. Back when I could have asked her questions, I didn't care. So,
right.
But I've wondered how she managed to do that with just a plain old deck of cards. So
and
that makes sense.
The Five of Hearts is the Five of Cups. The Ace of Pentacles is the Ace of Diamonds. It's how tarot snuck into our everyday world after the Inquisition and all that. And then there's the Major Arcana, and it's a set, of cards that the Minor Arcana is about everyday stuff. If I lay out 10 cards and 8 of them are minor arcana cards, that means that whatever the person's asking about, it's kind of an everyday problem. That doesn't mean it's not an important problem, and that doesn't mean that it's not something that they don't need some direction with. It just means that there's not a lot of karmic implications for it. Maybe you have to figure out how to talk to your neighbor about their barking dog. That's the kind of thing that can make you nuts if you're not sleeping every night.
Right.
But there may not be karmic implications unless you and your neighbor have some past life history. And the dog just happens to be the problem du jour of this lifetime. But they talk about a fool and his journey, and we don't mean a fool like an idiot or somebody who's not very bright. We mean a fool in his natural state, and that is somebody who just doesn't know. They're just starting out on a journey. They're enthusiastic, and they're ready to go, but, they don't even know what questions to ask yet, let alone what the answers might be. And it progresses all the way through the fool's journey until he's done with that part of the path. And that's what the Major Arcana does for you. Am I rambling or...
No, that makes perfect sense.
Okay. Well, you take those cards, and I'm going to lay them out in a Celtic cross. not everybody names the position titles exactly the way I do. I read a Conley deck. That's C-O-N-N-O-L-L-Y. It's by Eileen Conley.
Okay.
Number one, it was what my teachers used because they had had a class actually directly from her. But one of the things I like about it, and it'll lead back to some other things we were talking about, is that there is no death card and there is no devil card. And there are still cards in that position that have the same meaning, but she has changed their name so that they are more instructive and healing and not fear-inducing. And I really like that. You know, there for everyday stuff, the Universal Weight deck is really great. The stuff really lines up well in it, but it's creepy to me. There are other people that are real comfortable with it. For me, I'm not comfortable with the symbolism in it all the time. And I'm better off with the Conley deck because, to me, it's more about the journey.
Mm-hmm.
And for her, for Dr. Conley, the journey is getting yourself closer to God and to being what God wants you to be, which I'm sure would be spinning some perfectly good Christian heads out there somewhere. you know, if they hear that. But that's what, in her book, she not only has the card and the description and all that, but there's a meditation to go with it. And the meditation always talks to God or Jesus. So that's the deck I'm using.
Okay.
I'm going to be doing a 10-card Celtic cross. Not everybody uses the same name for the same position, but I'm going to tell you the name of the position that I'm reading it as. So if somebody out there says, hey, that third card isn't called that, in my Celtic cross and for how I read, yes, it is.
Okay.
If somebody else is doing theirs, then they read their stuff. And
okay.
That's one of those things where, you know, you kind of fine-tune your skills. You can go back to talking about cooking, or you could talk about writing, people's penmanship. And everybody's got three or four different ways of writing. There's your how fast can I write this down and still be able to read it handwriting.
Right.
And there's your, I have to give this to my husband or to my kids, and I can't give them the out of, well, Mom, I couldn't read your handwriting. There's that handwriting where you're, you know, real meticulous, block letters, cursive, whatever. Well, tarot's a lot like that. Everybody's more comfortable with one style of handwriting than others. So this is just the style of tarot that I'm comfortable with, and that's what I'll be talking about tonight.
Okay.
Okay. You want to ask a question or?
Do I need to ask it out loud or just is it something I just think quietly in my head?
Whatever you'd like to do, whatever you're comfortable with. I would like to ask a couple of things.
Okay.
Number one, don't make it a yes-no question because to ask a yes-no question and then put down 10 cards is a little befuddling.
Okay.
If there are people involved other than yourself, just keep that in mind. If court cards come up, I'll make sure I describe their energy for you.
Okay.
If you want to tell me about the people involved, then we can do some designating. And then that we can see if that card comes up. Maybe... And some of the designations based on age and gender, but then some more of it's just who that person is.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you this. I'm not going to say the question out loud because I'd rather just see what the reading is. I will, at the end of the reading, tell everybody what my question was. That way they'll know, you know, wow, she was accurate. And I've got it set in my head, and there's no other people involved. It's just me. I can tell you that.
Okay. Well, I'm going to get quiet for just a little bit. It won't be very long. But
okay.
I start when I start laying down the cards, I'll tell you what the spread looks like. You can write it down if you'd like to and go back and look things up later if you want.
Okay.
Okay. That way you don't have to just rely on what I see and feel, but there may be things that would click with you that you might find.
Okay. Now, do you need me to be quiet, too?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Well, while Pam is getting ready for this reading, I will tell you guys about our shows that are coming up next month. Next month, instead of the two shows a month that we generally do, we are going to have three, possibly four, because we might do a special Halloween edition. We have coming up on October the... Oh, sorry, my computer is lagging. On October the... Well, come on now. There we go. On October the 10th, we have Alicia Sparks. She's coming back. And if you haven't listened to the show before, she is also a tarot reader. And this time, this visit, she will be doing readings the whole 2 hours for you guys, just for you listeners. So if you have a question ahead of time that you would like to her to address for you, please find the Paranormal Hour on Facebook or send an email to the_paranormal_hour@yahoo.com and give us your questions, and she will be answering them for you through tarot on Friday, October 10th. On October the 17th, we have a special edition of the Paranormal Hour, and we will have Pink. Pink is a paranormal investigative group from Missouri. I believe Pink stands for Paranormal Investigations Network Kinship. And they have been doing some really cool stuff out there in Missouri. Michael Barbie, who's a regular on this show, has been doing investigations with them, and they're going to have some video. They messaged me yesterday and said, we've got some video that we're going to put up on our YouTube channel and all kinds of pictures and talk about this big investigation that they just went on. And the 24th of October, we will also have a show, and I believe our guest for that show is going to be Jamie Ronan. So, and you guys, if you'd listened to the last time he was on, he's a psychic and a Reiki master and has just all kinds of interesting stuff to tell us about. So be sure to tune in October. And then we may, it's still up in the air, have a special edition that's a Halloween show. I'm trying to work on that, get it together with several psychic mediums that can answer your questions if you call in and hopefully do all kinds of neat things that will be scary and probably exciting at the same time. Okay, whenever you're ready, Pam. I don't want to push you, just whenever.
Okay, I'm ready.
Okay.
Well, first I'm going to go through and tell you what the cards look like.
Okay.
There'll be positions 1 through 10. And the first position is the Strength card, the Major Arcana card, and it is about facing your fears, calming the beast within, and utilizing your most positive powers to overcome your most negative powers, or your whatever you'd like to call them.
Okay.
The stepping stones you give yourself. The second card, which covers the whole deck, or not the whole deck, but the whole thread, if it could, it would set above like an umbrella, is the Queen of Cups. And the first card is like a Polaroid. It's a snapshot of how you see yourself in the situation right this very minute. So you feel challenged, but you feel capable of dealing with it. With the Queen of Cups covering everything, it's probably an emotional issue, and it is about, it can be about forgiving yourself as much as forgiving others, because you have to learn to take care of yourself. You know, it's that being on the airplane and they tell you put your air mask on first and then help your child. That's kind of the message of the Queen of Cups. Help yourself and then you're more capable of helping others. It's all rooted in the third position, which is the Nine of Wands. And the Nine of Wands is about gathering your tools. So you may have been working on this, even if it was just mentally, for quite a while. Pulling things together, seeing what you needed, all that kind of thing. Then in the fourth position is the Four of Wands, and that's the last week to 10 days. And the Four of Wands is a card of Second Harvest. It's about teamwork, and it can be an unexpected Second Harvest. You didn't realize that that field was still going to bear fruit. And that's been the last couple of weeks. And then it's been fading away in the last 24 hours. Crowning it up top is the Ace of Pentacles in the fifth position. And that's a new start. Whatever this is, you gathered your tools. When you had the extra energy coming in and the second harvest, you can recognize now that there is more to be done with that, and you've got a new start out of it. And with it being Pentacles, it's probably money or business. It can also be related to home and hearth, family, things like that, but the Pentacles are all about the farm. And so it would be business, money, something like that. In the sixth position, just starting to come in, and again, applying for the next 7 to 10, even up to 14 days, is the Fool. And I'm glad we talked about what that meant before we started. and he's standing right there at a crossroads. So whatever this ace is, it becomes a very, it's real. It becomes a very karmic step for you to step forward into this. And in the next 10 days to 2 weeks, you're going to be doing that. In your fears and apprehensions position is the Ten of Pentacles. And that can mean that you're worried about your family. Again, that'll come back from that Ace of Pentacles that we talked about. In the Ten of Pentacles in the Conley deck, there's an older fella sitting there, and his family has come back to visit him. And it's interesting because the dog is a puppy in the Fool card. Is also in the Ten of Pentacles, but he's full grown now. So, there's something about this journey that at least puts you off a little bit. Maybe makes you worry about your family and how it might impact them. But what other people see this is the Empress. So they very much believe that you are capable of dealing with whatever this is and doing it in a positive, growth-oriented way that is good for not just you, but everybody around you. The Empress is the major arcana version of the Queen of Cups. They both give blessings and bounty and help you. The Queen of Cups is more in an emotional way. The Empress might be in a more practical way. But, you know, let's face it, it's from the Empress. The most positive thing, which is the ninth position, is the Queen of Wands. So you're kind of all over this in terms of the Empress, the Queen of Cups, and the Queen of Wands with all kinds of different aspects of yourself. The Queen of Wands energy is about moving and studying and change and all that kind of thing, and that's the most positive energy in this. So whatever changes it is that you're wanting to make, whether within or without, they're good. It's a good thing. And the outcome is the Knight of Pentacles. And that just means it's going to be slow. Whatever it is, with all this great energy you've got going and all the tools you've gathered and all that, it's going to keep moving forward, but it's going to be slow.
Oh, my gosh, that's the story of my life. Hurry up and wait.
Yeah, exactly.
I need a theme song that talks about hurry up and wait, because that's pretty much it.
Cosmic waiting room.
What's that?
I said the great cosmic waiting room.
Yeah, I'm always in a lobby without a magazine. It's a good thing I have my Kindle.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Well, go ahead.
Do you have any questions about anything I said, about any of the cards or the positions?
No. And it made perfect sense. And my question was about a job opportunity. And I already have a fully loaded plate. So I don't know. I've been really mulling this over, and I don't know that I have time to take on more, but I'd like to.
Mm-hmm.
It's an opportunity that I don't really want to walk away from, or that I feel is, I don't think this is a good time for me to walk away from an opportunity that good. You know what I mean? So.
Yes.
It was made perfect sense to me. Everything you said made perfect sense to me.
Okay.
So your take on the entire reading, the whole is that I'm on top of this and I'm good to go.
Yeah, you've certainly got what it takes to deal with it, and others see that pretty clearly.
Well. That's helpful. Now, if I can learn to believe that myself.
Yeah. Remember we were talking about the stone, the stepping stones and the stumbling
yes.
blocks we make for ourselves? First card?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's my concern, is that I've stretched out so much with everything that I do now. Somebody asked me the other day, so what do you do? For a living, and I just started laughing because I don't even know where to start. I'm to the point now where I have so many different things going on that when I tell people what I do, they just look at me like, you are such a liar.
Yeah.
So, nobody does all that stuff. Well, yeah, some of us are crazy and we just kind of do too much. But, yeah, that was great. If callers or listeners, if you would like to call in and ask some questions, please feel free to do so. The guest call-in number is 714-242-5259. We'd love to hear from you. Also, you can join in the Twitter chat, hashtag the Paranormal Hour, if you have any questions that you'd like to send through there, or in chat. Chat is open. For those of you that are listening, you may need to refresh your browser to log in because you can't type in chat unless you're logged into the Blog Talk Radio. So give us a call or a shout-out or something, and we'll try to answer your questions. Now, when you do a reading, Pam, do you have,
mm-hmm.
I mean, is this something that you do frequently? Are people constantly calling you, hitting you up, saying, hey, can you read my card?
No, it seems to come in flurries. And I may have a lot of what I think of as a lot of people. I don't do the 1-800 number stuff, you know, I guess where you get
mm-hmm.
on there and work a shift or whatever. But, And then it'll be real quiet for a while. And, you know, sometimes I want to stop and look and see what the moon's doing. Because I know somebody out there somewhere is getting their chart jammed up.
Yeah. Now, because you do something with dreams too, correct?
Yeah. If people have dreams, and they're going, "What in the world does that mean?" I'm comfortable doing that. Again, it's the symbolism. It's all about symbolic thinking. Actually, it's quite Freudian, most of it. Hello.
Hello. I'm sorry. We just got a message from someone who wants to know if you would do a short reading for them.
Yeah.
And she wanted to know if she has to give her name.
No.
And I said, no, you don't have to give your name. Just give me a question, and I'll tell her, and we'll go from there. So you do dream interpretation based on just gut instinct?
Some of it, a lot of it is, again, about numerology and about Freud and Adler and the kind of symbology that was in their various branches of psychology. That's something that really resonated with me in grad school.
Mm-hmm.
And again, some of the stuff can relate back to what you see in a tarot deck. It's the same set of symbols. Human beings are symbolic thinkers. That's why international signs are symbols, because they don't require a language. So, again, it's that same kind of thinking. And you also have to be able to listen, because what I think of when, you know, what a pool of water means to me, and what a pool of water means to you, and what a pool of water means to a 65-year-old over-the-road truck driver crossing Iowa right now,
mm-hmm.
may not all be the same thing. So there's got to be some individualization with that, and you have to be able to ask questions. Again, it's just your brain trying to talk. It's just really the other side trying to talk to you. Again, it's your brain saying, hey, we didn't quite do this the way we were supposed to. Let's look at this again.
Right. I agree with that 100%. We have a caller. Let's take this caller and see. Hello, this is Willow Cross. You're on the Paranormal Hour. Do you have a question?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Oh, wow, cool. I wasn't expecting that. Basically, I just wanted to ask if you guys have any...
Hello? Okay. Caller, if you can still hear me, it shows your call has dropped. Please call back in, and we'll try to answer your question. All I heard was, you guys have any, and then your call dropped. Sorry about that. Sometimes it happens. That's the joy of internet radio.
Yeah.
Or the not-so-joy of internet radio. Well, back to what you were saying about dreams. I believe that 100%. We'll wait for our caller to call back. I think that it is very open to interpretation, because the same thing doesn't... Now, I would say there are certain things, like, you know, they say when people dream of tornadoes, that generally that has something to do with the feeling of being out of control or chaos in your life. And I think maybe there are certain things you can put a general cap on, but other things I think are completely open to interpretation. Don't you agree, or do you believe differently?
No, actually, one of my very favorite ways when people are talking about the dreams that they're having, and it's got all these... one of the things that I was taught to do was to interpret it that you are every person in the dream. It represents some aspect of you. So if you're dreaming about your parents, you know, it depends on what kind of relationship you have with your parents. Is your father abusive or supportive? Then if you could look at that as that being you and you're being supportive of someone in a paternal kind of way, does that make more sense to you?
Right.
And, it, you know, it takes a little bit of just being honest because we tend to respond. Someone says, well, I don't know, you know, what does your dad mean to you? Oh, he was a good man. He supported our family, you know, blah, blah, blah. Okay. But what did he mean to you? You know? And really get people to be able to identify that. And even if they can't do it at that moment, so you can tell them what you think the symbolism is, they can think on that themselves. You know, to me, that's a tool right there that somebody gets, and they're able to step forward with it.
Yeah. I think that dream interpretation can be valuable at times, and I think that I know that the power of the subconscious mind is incredibly strong. I mean, they've done all kinds of studies and experiments on dreams and what your mind is trying to tell you when you're asleep.
Do you know if you don't dream and have dreams every night that you can begin to exhibit psychotic symptoms within like 48 to 72 hours?
I have heard that.
It's important. It's important stuff that it's getting out.
I've met some people who claim that they never dream. And every time somebody tells me that, I just laugh because I'm assuming they just don't remember what their dreams are. Because I can't imagine how you could just never dream. Unless if you're never reaching REM, then I would say, I mean, there was some study done somewhere where if you go without reaching REM sleep for a certain period of time, you will also exhibit psychotic behavior. A psychotic break simply because you're not getting into the deep sleep. Or if you go for days and days without sleep, that can also cause you to hallucinate and have audio hallucinations, visual hallucinations. So I don't ever have to worry about that because I tend to sleep anytime I sit down. That's probably because I'm so busy all the time that when I finally do sit down, my body says, oh, no, stop, we're done, we quit.
You think you were going.
What's that?
What happened to the listener that had a question for a reading?
I don't know. I don't know what happened to her. She sent me a message and I said she didn't have to give her name and give me a question, and she never responded. So
okay.
I don't know if she changed her mind, and I don't know what happened to our caller. I think that maybe his cell phone went dead or something. I don't know. If anybody does have a question and would like to call in, please do so. We have time here for a little bit to answer you. The call-in number is, I got to look here, 714-242-5259. Or you can send your question via Twitter at #TheParanormalHour. And we'll try to get you answered. Now, what about, we haven't talked about your Reiki. Am I pronouncing that right? I think our caller has called back in. All right, let's see if he's there. This is Willa Cross at the Paranormal Hour. Caller, are you there?
It's not him, it's Kelly.
Oh, it's a new caller. Hi, Kelly.
Yes. Hi, how are you?
I'm good, how are you? Thanks for calling into the show. Did you have a question for Pam?
Well, I was wondering if she'd do a reading for me.
Certainly. Do you want to tell me the question, or would you like to just think about it?
I'd like to think about it.
Okay. I'm going to do a three-card spread, and it'll tell us about you, the situation, and the root of the situation.
Okay.
I was thinking,
oh, that's a good wow.
Yeah, sorry about that. Sometimes I forget and think out loud. No, it's actually a pretty little spread. First card, and that represents you right in this moment, and how you see it is the Empress. And like I was talking to Willow there a few minutes ago, the Empress is just all things good. She is capable of dealing with whatever, and that's because she's not only comfortable within herself, but the resources that she has to deal with it. On top of that, covering the whole thing is the Ten of Cups. The Ten of Cups is usually about much happiness. The flip side of that is that it can also be an emotional ending. But since I don't see any swords or any kind of things like that around it, if I just had to guess, I wouldn't say that was what you're experiencing right now. And it's all rooted in the Page of Wands. And the Page of Wands is a message bringer. So from what I see here...
I didn't hear that.
It's all rooted in the Page of Wands. Page, P-A-G-E.
Uh-huh.
Some decks call him the Princess. But he's a message deliverer. And,
okay.
Looks to me like you get happy news.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yes, it is, actually. Very exciting.
Okay.
Yay.
Remember, as you move forward, look at if you hit any stumbling blocks. They can be stumbling blocks or stepping stones.
Okay.
Any other questions with that?
Do you have any other questions for her, Kelly?
Well, that's interesting because my question was, I'm an author, and my question was, what will my writing future be?
Hmm.
So that's interesting. That's why I said it's exciting because sometimes as an author, you just don't know, you know, whether the time you're spending in, you know, your creative outlet is, I don't want to say worth it, because it's always worth it, because it's, you know, that's what you do, it's what you are, but
mm-hmm.
It's nice to know that it's, that there's a positive future with it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see it's speeding up, actually, in the next 30 days or so, and you're going to have to make some decisions based on that.
Hmm. Okay.
Wow. We have a question from the lady who messaged us earlier. She sent me a message, and she is also an author. And she writes, I write in a lot of genres. Which would be best for me?
No, honestly, that's a kind of a funky tarot question. Let me think if I can phrase that so I can get an answer. I'm going to be thinking about which genre. She doesn't state her goals.
Her goals.
I'm going to ask which genre is the healthiest for her. in the bath. Okay.
This is really interesting stuff. I'm glad you called in, Kelly, and feel free to stay on the phone if you'd like. You can stay on the air with us and join in the combo.
It is interesting. I've never had a reading before, so that's really interesting.
Oh, this is an the first for you then.
Yes, it is.
All right. Well, our other author, our anonymous author, looks like she's really kind of struggling with this, that she writes in those several genres. She needs to make a decision that is in line with her healthy home. And it's still going to be slow progress moving forward. She's going to feel like she's planting seeds and they're not coming up. But acorns drop in the fall and oaks grow in the spring. She's just got some work ahead of her. She's got to have some faith in herself and make her own choices. That's really what it's about. The other way of phrasing the question really kind of made it a yes-no answer, making it a multiple-choice thing with genre.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is about having some faith in herself, and not believing that, like Kelly was talking about, that she's wasting her time. Concentrate on what she has and the relationships that she has. It doesn't matter whether the things that have changed were based on something she did or it was just one of those great cosmic things that happened. She needs to concentrate on what she does have and just keep moving forward and make decisions that are in line with a happy, healthy her. You know, which genre does she like writing about? That's really kind of what it boils down to. And being willing to say, I may make more money writing science fiction, but historical romances are my thing.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
She said thank you.
You're very welcome.
So that must have, and if any of you that are listening and are in chat have a question, please feel free to type it in chat or hashtag the Paranormal Hour if you're on Twitter, or you can Facebook me because I'm getting Facebook messages like crazy now. I must have several author friends that are listening in today or tonight. I have another question for you if you would like to answer. She also would like to remain anonymous. She says, I have been working so hard on three different series, and I feel like I'm wasting my time because nothing is selling. Should I just give up?
Ah.
Well, before she does her reading, let me say, absolutely no, you should not give up. Don't do that.
Yeah.
This takes time. Listen, I've been doing this for a bit now, and obviously I am not living in a mansion on a Caribbean island. So it takes time, so don't give up. But is there a way to give her a reading based on what she's concerned with?
Yeah, should she give up? I mean, really, that's her question. Is she wasting her time?
Yeah.
Even before I touch the cards with that one, I would like to say, you know, people who are healers, we also get in that same position. You and I were talking about this earlier, Willow, that when people find out you have a skill, they just come to you, you know? And they can wear you out. And a lot of times when they get there, they don't have the resources to pay you for it or to even compensate you in any leeway on the material plane. You know, it's the old trading chickens for tarot reading analogy. But you still, as a healer, you feel compelled to help them heal. Well, as an author, you feel compelled to write. And at some point, if it means that you need to, and this is just the practical old grandma advice here, if you need to get a job that just brings you in a paycheck to take some of the stress off of you and some of the just some of the pressure, which would allow you to be more creative and write in a happier way, and I don't mean so much what you're producing, but how you feel about what you're producing, then don't tie those two things together. Okay? Now, having said all that, now I'm going to do some cards.
Okay.
Get down off my little soapbox there. Because not every gift is meant to support a family.
Well, I know mine's not.
Well, and you have to remember that just because it's not now, and this is for everyone, just because whatever your dream is not at the moment bringing you enough income to live on, does not mean that it's a dream you shouldn't have. Because you don't know what your calling in life is. You may never write a bestseller, but you might write something that profoundly affects one reader, and maybe that one story was meant for that one person so that they could overcome something and go on to do something spectacular. We don't know. And I mean, I'm not a fortune teller. I can't foresee anybody's future, but I can say this: not following your dream is always a bad idea. I see nothing in the future for people who give up their dreams but regret. I don't think you should follow it to the point where it ruins your life. I mean, if you cannot carry a tune in a bucket and your dream is to be a rock star, you might need to rethink just exactly how you're going to get to that destination. My dad used to laugh. My dad, I'm the youngest of six kids, and every one of us had some sort of music lesson, whether it was piano, or I had brothers that played brass instruments or whatever, and all of us sang, and we'd get together, you know, on the holidays as a family, and everybody would sing, and he would sing the loudest of anyone, and my dad was the most amazing man, and he could not carry a tune. And he would say repeatedly, with all the money I've put into music lessons, you would think that I would be a better singer by now. But he didn't take the lesson. So just don't give up on your dreams. And I'm sorry, Pam, go ahead and give your reading.
That's okay. I was shuffling the cards, and one card just kept popping out. No matter what I did, it kept popping out of the deck. So I'm just going to talk about the one card because I think it applies pretty strongly. It's the Eight of Swords. And the Eight of Swords is the being your own worst enemy card. It's where you spend so much time worrying that you create problems for yourself. You create stumbling blocks instead of stepping stones. And for the Conley deck, it shows a picture of a guy sitting in front of a fire staring out a window at these eight swords that are stuck in the snow. And he's worrying about them. He can't get out the door because of the snow and the sword. And the moral of the story is if he would just step away and stop looking at them, then the heat from the fire would go through and melt the snow around the swords and the swords would fall. And everybody does this sometimes. You get so busy worrying about, am I successful? Am I good enough? Am I good enough at what I do that I should keep doing it? Or am I wasting my time and making a fool of myself? But you can't help but sit and think and look at your swords, if you will. But I really think she just needs to keep going forward. And like I said, if she needs to get another job or, you know, a part-time something somewhere that just takes some pressure off of her. You don't see that as a failure at all. See that as supporting your long-term goal.
Right, right. I agree. I think that's a good reading. We have, you want to do another one? We have another question in the chat room. She prefers to remain anonymous as well.
Okay.
She says, can she find out what I've done to my glute slash hip and how to fix it?
Oh. I can try. I've never done a medical question with a tarot reading before. How do I ask that?
Can I ask a question while she's doing that?
Her glutes and what?
Her glute slash hip. Yeah, go ahead, Kelly.
Do you or can you do readings for, like, if someone asks you about a family member and something that they're doing? Would it need to be the family member that asked the question, or can the person who cares about them ask the question?
Well, they can ask the question, but the other side's going to answer in terms of what they need to know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're that the family member in question, if it's your mother and you think maybe she's got dementia, you're going to be given, or you think she's, I don't know. I mean, I can think of horrible examples, but abusing prescription medication or something like that, that if she would ask, what's the healthiest thing to do here? And for you to ask, what's the healthiest thing to do here? Those are two different answers.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get an answer, but it may not be, in fact, it won't be, what someone else should do.
So it might be what, for an example, I should do to support that person or something.
Right. It would be your healthiest place on the path that would help them or how it could affect you or something like that. And I don't think I can answer the lady about her glutes and hips. I really don't. If she can't connect it to something physical, you know, she was lifting furniture, I don't know, she over-boogied at the last wedding reception or something, if she can't connect it to something like that, I would go find her a Reiki master because she's probably storing some kind of energy there, some kind of old wound, and there's all kinds of stuff coming through right now because of energy shifts around us.
Mm-hmm.
And she may have brought something through from another lifetime, but that would be, I would recommend going finding an energy worker of some sort, like a Reiki person, a Reiki practitioner.
Okay. I think it shows that she's typing to us, so I believe she heard you. And explain Reiki as far as healing goes. That's like a huge thing right now. I don't even know how many people I have heard of recently that are either having Reiki work done on them or becoming practitioners.
Yeah,
and
they're
that
doing
is
it
just,
in,
I'm sorry,
they're doing it
ahead.
In the hospitals. Yeah, I'm sorry. They're doing it in the hospitals now. We were talking about the scientific background again. Reiki is energy work. It is, I can give you my interpretation of it, and I can give you a more traditional interpretation of it. It is a focused relaxation technique that allows your body to heal itself. And personally, I think it's kind of all about chemistry and physics, and it's just you get your atoms going in a healthy way and thinking about God's healing white light and being a channel for that and a vessel for that, and then it just kind of vibrates on out into the other person. I've had some fantastic healing responses with Reiki.
I've had a Reiki session, and I really enjoyed it. It was very helpful.
That's
yeah.
something I have yet to do. I want to, but it's just something I haven't gotten around to yet.
It was fascinating. I mean, it really was. I had not had any experience with that at all either. And I don't know if this happens to you, Pam, but he actually had like a vision that came through while he was working on me. And I've yet to put anything to the vision that he had, but he saw a picture of a bright red flower. And he was asking me, he said, do you have a flower on any of your book covers, or is there a painting in your home with a flower? And I couldn't connect it, to anything yet. But that was really interesting. And then at the time I was having a lot of tension and trouble at work, and it was so relaxing and helpful, and it really made a difference, as far as my state of mind at that particular time. It was fascinating.
Yeah. And it's very subtle. So people sometimes don't even realize anything's changing until you get done. I worked on a friend of mine, her neck was in bad shape. And I worked on her for about 20 or 25 minutes one evening. And at one point, while I'm working on her, she said, are you doing anything? I said, well, yeah. So we have that kind of friendship. And I said, when we got done, from that, I kind of expected her to say, I can't even tell you did anything. And when we got done, about 10 minutes later, I said, well, how is it? She said, it's the best it's ever felt. Okay, 10 minutes ago, you asked me if I was doing anything, what? Reiki's very subtle energy, but it's really effective. It just really is, and you don't have to believe in it for it to work. I have some skeptics in my world who have begrudgingly told me that things feel better when I get done working on them. And, of course, they're good enough eggs to let me work on them, too. And it has done some stuff for me. I kept having some trouble when I'd go to stand up in my left hip. Here we go. Here's the lady with her hips and her glutes. But it would hurt, and it would be like something knotted up in there, and I couldn't unbend. And I went to a Reiki practitioner, and she was asking me, did I have any particular complaints that day? Was there anything I wanted her to focus on? And we went over a couple of things, but I forgot about the hip, totally forgot about it. And she went through and did the session. When she got to the end, she said, yeah, I got right in here on your hip, and there was something just really lodged there. It took me a minute, but I got it undone. And I popped up off that table. And I could not have done that walking in. I couldn't have done it. And walking out, I was just fine. And I hadn't even told her about that. I hadn't even thought about it. But it was really great. Well, as the months went on, it started coming back, and I started having some trouble with it. And I realized what it was. I have a huge amount of guilt. My grandmother fell and broke her hip. And
oh, wow.
I had a lot of guilt. She's ended up in a nursing home. And it's just really a struggle for me to see her like that, because you talk about an amazing, incredible woman. That is an amazing, incredible woman. And seeing where she's at now has just plagued me. And once I made that connection, I have had no more trouble with my hip since then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And it was just in the same spot of, where would you hold tension and stress about an injury? Right where the injury's at.
Yeah.
So, and once I could recognize that, because once I recognized it, I could let it go. I could say, that's ridiculous. What are you doing? You couldn't have done, you know, anything about any of this. And once I got there, no more trouble. I can stand up like a regular person instead of like Tim Conway in Dorf on Golf trying to come up off the couch. So that's the kind of thing I would go talk the lady with the glutes and the hips. I would go talk to a Reiki worker.
That sounds like it might be a good thing to try. I really am interested in trying that and just seeing what it does. I have some issues with pain and at times, and I've thought about trying it. I've been to the doctor for it, and they just want to give me a pill, and I'm just not a pill taker. So, I usually just say, well, I'll just tough it out with some ibuprofen and a heating pad and go on from there. But it would be nice when that springs up to be able to get some relief that's not going to, you know, leave me sleeping. That's for sure.
Right. Yeah. And Reiki is very easy to learn to do yourself. Find a good teacher, an ethical, principled teacher. And Reiki 1 is usually a one-day class, and you can learn to do it on yourself and your family members.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's not complicated. It's just, you just have to learn about what to pay attention to.
Well, that is fascinating.
Your class will probably be about the same cost as your deductible.
Which is save you money in the long run if you don't have to keep going back, that's for sure.
That's exactly right.
If you have questions, we need you to go ahead and call in soon or ask in chat because we're going to wind up the show here. We are coming up on 11:30. And so if anybody has the questions, hurry and get it in now. I would like to go over, Pam, how to reach you. I did put it in chat room, but for those that are not in chat and just listening, you can find Pam at a_better_path@yahoo.com. A is capitalized, the B in better is capitalized, and the P in path is capitalized. Or you can find her on a Facebook fan page called A Better Path. If you need to get in touch with her, she would be happy to hear from you. And Kelly, you know, I know you're just visiting, but go ahead and give your information. Kelly's a friend of mine, and she's an author and a graphic designer, and she does all kinds of stuff. Kelly, what's your info? Let's plug you since you were so sweet.
Thank you. My website for my books is www.kellyabell.books. It's KellyABell, and then the word books.com. And then my company is for graphic design is Selecto Graphics. So that's www.selectographics, SelectoGraphics.com. So, thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay, great. No, thank you. It was great having you call in. And, of course, you guys all know me. I'm well across. You can find me everywhere. Seriously, if you can't find me online, you're not looking very hard. You can find me on Twitter, at Will Across, or willacrossbooks.weebly.com, or my Facebook page is willacrossbooks. Come find us on the Paranormal Hour. Please stop by and say hello on the fan page. We also have a YouTube channel. Go ahead and subscribe. We don't have anything uploaded yet, but we are about to be uploading all kinds of crazy paranormal videos that some of the investigation teams that are coming on are giving us evidence that they've found. There's going to be EVPs and all kinds of stuff, and if you subscribe, you will know the moment that it goes live on YouTube, and you can check that out. Also, you can find any of my true ghost story books that's called The Haunted Series on every online ebook store, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Kobo, Diesel, iTunes, it's everywhere. Look for Haunted. There's 1, 2, 3, and 4, and there's even print edition. It looks like we don't have any more questions, so I want to thank you so very much, Pam, for coming on tonight and doing the readings and talking to us about tarot and Reiki and explaining how that all works. We certainly enjoyed having you and hope you'll come again.
Well, it was fun to be here. Thanks for including me.
You're very welcome. It was very interesting, very interesting. I feel like I've learned a whole lot tonight. And for all of you out there listening, thank you from the Paranormal Hour and the World of Ink Network for tuning in. If you didn't get to hear the whole show, this will be archived and you can listen to the whole thing from the beginning. Just click the link on the World of Ink Network or any of the fan pages will have it too. Thank you all to all of you, and have a good night. We'll see you next time.